We give to go beyond. We give to see ministry in this church go beyond this present generation. We give beyond our abilities as we lean upon the grace that is sufficient for our every need, the grace that enables us to be an exemplary church. We give beyond what is expected because we desire to show the depths of our faithfulness to God, who in Jesus Christ has shown every measure of faithfulness to us. As you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Numbers, the 6th chapter, the 21st verse, where the Word of God tells us, this is the law of the Nazarite. The Nazarite who vows his offering to the Lord in accordance with his separation, in addition, beyond whatever else he can afford, he must fulfill the vow he has made according to the law of the Nazarite. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. What do you think of? What comes to your mind when you hear the word average? What comes to my mind is a conversation that I had years ago when I was a student in seminary. It was one of those challenging seasons in my life. I was a young seminarian. I had a sense of calling to go as far in my studies as I possibly could, and so the pressure to be able to perform well enough in the classroom to be received into the PhD program was an ever-present source of pressure. I was newly married. My wife, Judy, was finishing up her Bachelor of Science degree in nursing at a private school in Louisville. It was an intense time for her. Together, we were serving a small church in rural Kentucky. It was a demanding season in my life in terms of learning how to become a pastor, making the transition from being a youth minister to a pastor. And I remember a conversation that I was having with a fellow classmate. We were together in the cafeteria. I needed a shoulder to lean on, perhaps a shoulder to cry on. I was pouring out my heart, and I'll never forget what he said to me. Doug, you got it all wrong. I have it all wrong. You've got it all wrong. You're wearing yourself out. You're tearing yourself up. You're grinding as hard as you can to do as well as you can in everything. I don't worry about any of the things that keep you up at night. When I ask, how do you do it? He said, I am content with being average. You labor for A's. You try to excel in all that you do. Why don't you back it down a little bit and just be average like the rest of us? How would that have struck you as a young person seeking to be faithful to God's calling? How would a statement like that strike you even now? For me, it never was a path that I could accept. Part of it, my personality, part of it, my upbringing. I was wired, I was taught from the time that I was a small child that the average is the poorest of the good and the best of the bad? And who wants to go through life on a path that has nothing more than that to aspire to? We live in a community, Mountain Brook, Alabama, with high expectations. I don't know that there is a person in this congregation this morning who would be content with being assessed in anything that you are about as the poorest of the good and the best of the bad. As being average, you wouldn't want to have to be saddled with that label in anything that you are about in life. Would it not stand to reason that we would also want to be and do more when it comes to our faith in God? Doesn't it stand to reason that we would want to do and be more than the poorest of the good and the best of the bad? Wouldn't it stand to reason that we would want to go beyond that? The passage of Scripture that I've read for you this morning from the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers is one of those books in the Bible that we are not very familiar with, and it's a shame that we aren't more familiar with Numbers, because our assumption is it's all about genealogies and who begat whom, and actually it's about a lot more. It's about the journey that God's people were on through the wilderness, a very difficult season in their lives. But they were on this journey to experience something more, the blessings of Canaan, the land that God had promised to them. And as a part of how God's presence guided His people, there was a reminder that at certain seasons in the journey, there would be individuals among Israel who would feel a sense of calling to go beyond what was expected of everyone else in the community. These persons, this special class of individuals, was designated as the Nazarites. The name Nazarite comes from a Hebrew word which means separated ones. Those who live an extraordinarily devoted life to God. There are actually very few people who are designated as Nazarites in the Bible. The term seems to have been relatively rare. Evidently, there weren't many people who aspire to this high level of expectation and devotion, who wanted to be more than average. Samson, you remember Samson, Nazarite. Samuel, the last of Israel's judges, the first of her prophets, he too, a Nazarite. John the Baptist in the New Testament, he had taken upon himself the vow of a Nazarite, and for a brief season, the book of Acts tells us, even the Apostle Paul assumed the vow of the Nazarite. There were three aspects to the vow. In the first place, no strong drink, no wine. The Canaanites were the people of the land, tillers of vineyards. It was a way for this class of separated people to show themselves unique from others who would occupy along with them the land into which they were entering. So no wine or strong drink. Do not cut the hair. Do not cut the hair. It's a way of visibly marking yourself as someone dedicated to God. Do not touch a dead body. Do not come in contact with anything that does not have the breath of life. It will contaminate you ritually. You will not be able to engage in worship. Those three vows, no wine, strong drink, do not cut the hair, no contact with any corpse, with anything that does not have the breath of life. And when the time for the vow, the season in which you have endeavored to express yourself in an extraordinarily devoted way, when it is over, there are three offerings that you bring: a burnt offering, a sin offering, a peace offering. And for some, according to this passage of Scripture, there is an offering beyond expectation. This is the law of the Nazarite who vows these three offerings to the Lord in accordance with his separation. In addition, beyond what is expected, even of a Nazarite, in addition to whatever else he can afford. I read this passage of Scripture and I wonder to myself, when have there been seasons in my life and in my faith journey when I have felt called of God to give an extra measure of devotion to Him, to go beyond what is expected of me? I know in my heart of hearts that faith is to be something that is done at a consistent level. Faith is not intended to be something that fluctuates like the stock market or the temperature. You don't like the temperature in Birmingham, wait 24 hours and it'll change. That's how so many things in life go up and down, up and down. Faith is not intended to be one of those things. There must be a level of consistency to our devotion to God. And yet, in your own life and in your own faith journey, has there not been a time when you have felt impressed by God to do, to be, to give something beyond what is expected? I sense we're in that sort of season in the life of Mountain Brook Baptist Church. And what deeply concerns me as pastor of this congregation is that I am not quite sure that others in this church understand the gravity of what we are facing in the congregation as we seek to claim the future that God has for us. And I understand why that may be the case. And the fact of the matter is, I am willing to shoulder some of the blame for what may be, for many, a lack of awareness. We've just concluded a Because campaign where we talk about the importance of making commitments to God because of all that God has done for us, a campaign that's designed to enable us to meet the ministry plan that we feel God leading us to pursue, something that we do year after year after year after year, because. And now we're asking people to consider something beyond The because can be confusing. Understand that this Beyond campaign addresses what we believe is a challenge that God has given us to consider doing something that a congregation like ours does only every 20 years or so. It's not like an annual pledge drive where we talk about the importance of next year's ministry plan. What we're talking about in the month of November, what we're inviting you to prayerfully consider in terms of your extra measure of dedication to God, going beyond what is normally expected of a people, that's something that happens only rarely in the life of a church. The last time Mountain Brook Baptist Church ever embarked on a journey like this was in 2001, when the church felt God impressing it to construct Hudson Hall and the new receptionist area and the office suites and a number of other additions to the life of the church that were so important that have blessed us even 20 years later. Perhaps it might be best to think of it this way. How long has it been since you have made any improvement in the home where you live? In the last 20 years, what changes have you made? What tweaks have you done? What renovations have you been embarking on in terms of your just personal home? And why have you done it? Well, in 20 years, styles change and needs change. In 20 years, needs change. And ministries emerge. And facilities have to be tweaked in the house of God in order for us to make ministry more possible, an extra measure of dedication to claim the future that God has for us to know. I'll be very honest with you this morning. There have been times in the last 9 months when I have asked myself the question, why have I brought this upon myself and upon our church, this whole building effort? Why did I do this? And why did I do it now? I know where to park. I know what door to go into. I can get from the sanctuary to the Christian Life Center by way of the second floor after 8 years without scattering breadcrumbs along the way, as long as I have my trusty fob. So why does anything need to change for me? And then God speaks to me and I remember, this is not about you. This is what the congregation heard the Spirit of God impressing upon them as together we began to think as a church about what it means to claim the future and to set out on a strategic course that would enable us to become more of the people God needs us to be. This is not anything that Doug Dortch came up with. This is what Mountain Brook Baptist Church heard God directing them to do. And so this this impression of the Spirit to move beyond what was expected is all about how we can position ourselves as a church to provide something that will bless this church and this community beyond this generation. It would be something that is beyond our ability to accomplish all by ourselves. It's something that invites us to move beyond what is normally expected. It's a holy season, which can be one of those times that, while challenging, can be the most exciting for people who feel moved of God. Do you think this entire effort might be something that you might want to join? Or are you content with how things are, as if how things are will be how things shall forever remain? Are you familiar with Mrs. Fields cookies? That's an odd transition, isn't it? I'm a sucker for a good chocolate chip cookie, and I don't know that anyone makes a better chocolate chip cookie than Mrs. Fields cookies. You can get them, by the way, at the Great American Cookie Store, the Colonial Brookwood Village. They did not pay me for that plug. Years ago, I read an article about Debbie Fields, who is Mrs. Fields. In the 1970s, along with her husband, they started their first cookie store in Palo Alto, California. And since that time, Mrs. Fields cookies are in every state of the Union and in over 30 countries globally. She was interviewed about a book that she had written. Love the title. One Smart Cookie. It's a good title. She tells about a time that she dropped in unannounced to one of the stores that sell Mrs. Fields cookies. That was a practice of hers. Just kind of make a surprise visit. She dropped in and she found that the cookies that were being offered to the public did not meet her standards. The perfect Mrs. Fields cookie is a half inch in thickness. These cookies, she measured, were a quarter inch. They were off by 1/4 of an inch. Moreover, the perfect Mrs. Fields cookie is 3 inches in diameter. These cookies were 3 1/4 inches in diameter. So they were larger cookies, and they were thinner cookies. They were off by a quarter inch in both directions. And they were a little too brown for Debbie Fields' liking. So she thought, what were her options? She could have berated the store manager. She could have gone back to the corporate office and sent out an email reminding all of the outlets what the expectations are for the perfect Mrs. Fields cookie. Instead, she turned to the young man who was next to her, and she said, "What do you think about these cookies?" And he said, they look good enough to me. Wrong answer. They look good enough to me. And so Debbie Fields took the trays of cookies, 6, 7 trays of cookies, 30, 40 cookies on each tray, worth hundreds of dollars. She took the trays of cookies and she dumped them into the trash can. And she handed the trays back to the young man who had said, they look good enough to me. And she said, young man, good enough never is. Good enough never is. We've come to a season in the life of this church where I trust God is moving in our midst in such a way that we feel the need to go beyond what is expected. Because if better is possible, good is never enough, and only the mediocre are always at their best. So let us be willing to fulfill our vows to the Lord because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And let us be willing to go beyond and to give beyond, so that this church might show ourselves to be the people that God deserves that we become. An extraordinary and exemplary people who worship and who serve. An extraordinary and exemplary God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for who we are in Christ and the possibilities that are before us when we yield ourselves fully to Him. Thank you for those special moments when we have the privilege of being able to distinguish ourselves as folk who, in all that we're about, seek to offer an exemplary witness to Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, for you to move in our midst, that through our faithful response, we might show in unequivocal ways how Jesus is Lord of all. This we pray in His name, and for our sakes, amen.